Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Bet Sweat. Tuesday morning, Joe O, Sam, and P had a couple of NFL games that we need to dissect. And of course, we have a World Series representative from the American League side. Happy Tuesday. We've got Heisman Watch coming your way in about 20 minutes. It's a Tuesday, so we're going to break down the futures, all the movement that we've seen, whether it be the team. Oh, man, every week. Big movement. Even that team playing late last night, big movement on them. Certainly something worth noting that we've been talking about for a long time and neither of us have ever bet. So we'll talk about the futures, the awards. Michael Felder will be here. That will be a fun visit. So will Will Brinson. Maybe we'll play a game or two along the way over the next 3 hours. How sweaty was it? You jumped in on Toronto. Someone told you to jump in on Toronto. You did just that. And then you get the comeback, the home run you heard right there.
It was also sweaty because I found myself on the under. We had talked about it on the show.
So did
I. You gave it out for lightning bets. I did not, but I bet it. And I thought, oh, it's 3-1. This is a dead under. And then Springer, pow. And then you got to sweat 4-3 for the last third of the game. How about the line drive to first base that Naylor just snags and then tags the bag for the line drive double play? Everything had to go right to keep that thing under 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
That was a sweat. The Jays World Series bet was a sweat that is still alive and now need 4 more wins. I slept all afternoon, though, yesterday. I woke up, did You Better You Bet, went back to bed. And then I was up all night because that's how it works. I told you I was going to sleep during Monday Night Football. I woke up at a couple weird times. I woke up when Mike Evans was like lying on the field dead.
Oh, jeez.
And the NFL rules analyst is like, to be clear, he did not catch the ball. I'm like, he's
nobody
not
cares.
Breathing.
You're nobody
like,
cares.
Can we not do this right now? Can we just go to commercial? Can we show something else? I don't want to watch an NFL superstar laying on the field dead. Like, nobody wants that. And they just keep the camera on him, and then they're explaining how it's not a catch. And I'm like, that is so strange. That is not television that I think that people want to see. But the NFL did it anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he was out with a hamstring for a while. Comes back. Concussion, collarbone, you name it. It's been 12 years now. He was setting all those records. He's got like every Bucs receiving record that you could think of. When I see that he's 32, I'm like, oh, I thought he was a lot older. It felt like he was older, but he was young when he came into the NFL. And it's a little different now. They're a little bit older because there's reasons to stay in college a little bit longer. I think he should be done. It's not me to say. It's his career. It's his life. But he, at this stage of 12 years, he just comes back from one injury. Now it's at least a couple of more. And then Bowles is saying after the game that, yeah, it'll probably be at the end of the season if he's able to come back. It's been a lot. a lot. I mean, he's put in his time. I don't know that he has to continue. It's obviously his choice. It's his life. It's his family. But we may have seen the end of Mike Evans' career.
$155 million career earnings. Mm-hmm. I think he's done okay. Assuming he's saved some of that. Obviously, you lose a ton to Uncle Sam, as we all do. But what more do you have to prove? I feel like every time I watch a Bucks game, and I don't watch a lot of them. You and I have all the games. We have Sunday Ticket. We watch basically everything under the sun. I feel like the last four Buccaneers games I've watched, he's gotten hurt in. And mm-hmm. I feel for the guy because he's only 32. You're right. I thought he was a lot older. Maybe in doggy years I was viewing his career. It's just he's been in the league 11 years now, and he's been hurt for a ton of those. And you hope that he's okay because that was a vicious hit, and he's just laying there. And the medical staff is like trying to shake him to consciousness, and you're like, this is not good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awful. You mentioned that sweat that you had, not only with the future, and then we're sweating the under. And I also went in after the first inning when it was 8.5. I'm like, oh, I'm going to grab a little bit more so I feel good about this.
Double dip.
That was a real – you're right. That was a real sweat. You're bottom of the eighth, first and third, nobody out, and they don't score. It was ridiculous. It was the play that you needed. I think the color commentator was saying, well, you don't want to get doubled up here. That's why they're not taking second base right now. Like, and then boom, next pitch gets doubled up in a different fashion on a liner to first. So that was fun. And like I was in a trick spot because I know for my Dodgers futures, the better opponent is Seattle for me. Me to be more likely to win, it's Seattle. Toronto was favored to win last night, and we know how scary that offense can be. But I also needed the under to hit. So, like, once Springer homers, like, I'm locked in. Okay, I need no more runs if I want these bets to hit tonight. And, you know, it doesn't put me in the better spot, but I think the Dodgers are so good, it doesn't matter. I took a look at where the Blue Jays were preseason. What's your first guess? Because you jumped in late. What was your first guess on AL pennant? Where were they before the year?
Before the season, AL pennant probably 30-1.
That's a good guess. 25. I saw that was a range I saw, 25-30. Because remember, obviously the Yankees are a runaway favorite in that division, and there were some love on some other teams in the AL East. World Series. What do you think it was?
60, 65, 70?
75. Wow, man, that'd be a nice ticket. Good. Dodgers, right? And then here we sit. This is your World Series matchup. If the Blue for the American League for everybody, it was those teams were bumped up for World Series because you probably have to face the Dodgers. And this is the situation we're at. It's the Blue Jays and the Dodgers. I think it's going to be a pretty good series, man. Springer, obviously the hero last night. They kept saying it. I didn't understand the thinking completely. Why did Wu have to come out? And I'm not trying to be the guy with, oh, I got the results in hand. That was a dumb call because it was the wrong result. I'm not saying that at all. As they were saying it in real time, like, well, Wu's got to go. You know Wu's going. All right. They got through the bottom of the lineup. Wu's going to come out. And they did that. I just didn't understand why. Wu had faced Springer, and he struck him out the first time around. And then what happens? First hitter, ball game, World Series changer. Springer with the home run. I didn't think that was going to happen. I wasn't sitting there predicting it or betting on it live time, but Wu did a great job coming in. I didn't understand why he had to exit.
Overmanaging. That's what it is. You have this happen to several franchises in the postseason. There are several teams, too, that trusted their starters a ton. Like, let's let them go 6-7 innings, and then in the playoffs, we're going to pull them in the third. Or let's start Andy Ashby again, right? game four, do or die, Ashby. Let's put Ashby out there.
Put our careers on him. Yeah, let's do that.
I don't know why it happens. I think it's the pressure of the postseason. I would just let my best guys go. I don't care, but some guys do, and they don't want – They don't want hitters to see the same guy three times. Yeah. Some of them don't want them to see him two times in the playoffs, which
twice
has changed. Yeah, has changed the way that guys manage in the postseason. I don't get it, and I think Seattle will be thinking about that for a long, long time.
Yeah. Remember, trade deadline, what was the hot team? What was the hot bet? Everybody's shoving Seattle. Seattle. Oh, you got to take Seattle. Look at that bullpen now. You got to jump on Seattle. And what did them in, not that they did anything wrong. I mean, they make it to the ALCS Game 7. But look at the difference between the two teams. Toronto's lineup's just better. They're just longer. Everybody in that starting lineup for the Jays last night got a hit. You would think they would have scored more runs, but everybody got a hit. And then you look at Seattle, like, yes, they improved the lineup throughout the season with some moves that they made. They extended it a little bit, but you got Julio and Raleigh 1-2. Why? Because you want them to get the most at-bats, and those are the two guys that homer last night. But the bottom three, it was like, you have to give up an inning. That's what you're doing, because they were so bad. The bottom three are like automatic outs. And so they come up a little bit short. You see that length with the Jays, and you just didn't get it out of the Mariners.
Series price, I'm looking right now. Your consensus is about minus 230 for the World Series. Of course, the Dodgers favored. The Dodgers are the better team with the better lineup and the deeper pitching staff. So how do the Jays win it? Well, they need Vladdy to continue to be Vladdy. He was awesome in that series. He needs to keep carrying the mail, because if he doesn't hit, I hate to say this, but if he doesn't hit, I don't think they can win. The Dodgers have proven they can win when Ohtani doesn't hit, if Freeman has a bad series. It feels like everything has to calibrate accordingly, and all of the big thumpers for the Blue Jays have to hit and hit some more. Where the Dodgers are so deep, you need a cold spell to cover the lineup. You need multiple guys to have bad series, where Toronto doesn't feel like it can afford any of their best players to have a down series.
Yeah, exactly. I would have certainly add Springer to that list, and that was the case last night. That's why they ended up winning the game. All right, Monday Night Football, first game. We were on Detroit, and I was a little worried because everybody was on Detroit, but we still stuck with it, gave it out during lightning bets, the minus six, and the Bucs do not get into double digits. 24-9, it was that bounce-back performance we were hoping out of Detroit. So the Lions cover the six. This goes way under the total. Way under, only 33 points scored in the game. The standout thing to me, Sam, was Gibbs. I mean, this is the best run defense in the NFL, in the Bucs. Has been for years. And Gibbs doesn't matter. Montgomery had his struggles, but doesn't matter with Gibbs. Career high, he goes 218 total yards on the ground through the air. Impacted that game in a number of ways. Last night was about Gibbs for me.
Two touchdowns as well. People love touchdowns. And he was, I believe, the most popular bet, Paul was saying yesterday, to score a touchdown. And he gets in early. This is going to be such a fun race between Gibbs, Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey. These guys are all balling right now. I would argue McCaffrey's been more valuable, wink, wink, because of everything that's gone south around him. But Jahmyr Gibbs could not be stopped. And they're feeding him the ball. 20 touches. I thought he should have had more, to be honest with you. But you're in such control that you don't have to run him into the ground. If I would have told you Baker Mayfield threw 50 passes last night, how many yards do you think he'd have? Probably a little bit more than 228, huh?
Yeah, probably more than 300. Probably like Herbert the other day when he was throwing it all day. And he had 420. Didn't have a good game, but he had 420 yards. So you're just going to ignore JSN? You're just going to throw out those names or OPOY and just ignore my guy? Huh? My 80-1 ticket?
I was bringing up running backs for the most part.
I also
had the JSN under last night. I was like, I don't think that's going to hit. I was laughing, though, because I thought, oh, that's the play that's going to swing it. When the Seahawks are up two scores and they decide, let's let Cooper Kupp throw a pass.
Oh, in the pick? Yeah, I know.
You're in total control. And then they run the wide receiver reverse pass, and Kupp throws one to JSN, airmails him, and it gets picked off. I'm like, ooh, I might have a chance here. And I didn't, because he got 14 targets, caught 8 of them, a buck 20. That game, I don't think it was as close as the final score indicated, or maybe it shouldn't have been. Like, the fact that that game was close was weird because Seattle felt like they were in total control for most of the way.
Because they were. Okay, so like, how often do you see – I'm sure there's a stat out there. Maybe you guys, somebody can find it. How often do you see this where the Texans are plus +3 in the turnover differential? The Texans score a defensive touchdown because Will Anderson falls on the ball in the end zone after a fumble. So you got a defensive touchdown, you're plus +3 in the turnover, and you still lose by multiple – no, it ended up being a one-score game. But you still lose by a touchdown. You lose by 8. That's unbelievable. That's how bad the Texans offense is right now. Tough matchup for both sides. That was big for JSN. I said it was big for Gibbs. Tough matchup. He shines. Same thing for JSN. Baker. Some people have cornered the market with him for MVP. That didn't help. Prime spot on the road against the Lions. Everybody's watching. That did not help things. We'll go over it later to see how much he fell. But remember, he was top three for MVP last week.
Not anymore. JSN 5-1 offensive player, by the way. I know we'll talk about some of these markets later. Taylor 105, JSN 5-1, McCaffrey 550. Buckle up.
Here we go. Yeah, a lot of these awards races, they're going to be good. Pick your side. All right, we're going to pick our sides with the Heisman watch. What the hell do you do now? Who's really even in this race? We'll talk about it on the other side. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich, Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Russ asked the question, is there a play to be made? Great question. If somebody has a recommendation, I'd love to hear it. I'm as confused as ever. And here we sit in the middle of conference play, still have a good amount of the season to go, and you would think that you would have some clarity as the season marches on, but things have been more confusing. We do this every Tuesday morning. Your Heisman Watch here on BetSweats. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. We're here weekdays 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time. BetMGMNetwork.com. That takes you to the Odyssey app, the BetMGM Network YouTube and Twitch pages. Make sure you are subscribed over there. Some good stuff, especially coming out on YouTube throughout the day from the network. Gertch always posts a couple videos from this show. All right, Sam. I took a look back at it. I'm like, all right, let's go week by week. See the favorite. All summer, it's Arch. Oh, it's going to be easy. It's going to be Arch. Took a ton of money. When you see the liability, when the books post that on their social media platforms, our top three liability, Arch is there because he compiled so many tickets over the summer. It was Arch all off season. Then after the first week, Nussmeier is the favorite. Then we go to Mateer. From Mateer to Beck. Then it's Mendoza. Then it's Moore, then it's Beck again, and going into last Saturday, Saturday, it was Beck and Simpson as co-favorites, and we know that's changed once again. The Heisman favorite has changed literally every week this season so far. And who's to say that it's going to start stopping now?
Which quarterback in the country do we trust the most? Remind me.
None of those guys.
No. It's the Vandy quarterback, Diego Pavia. Russ wanted a bet. It'd be Pavia at 11-1 right now. That would be the guy. They just beat LSU. They were favored for the first time since after World War II, 1948. And now they're favored again at home against Mizzou. And if they win that game, you're going to start to hear it louder and louder. And here's the one thing that we've always known about Pavia. He's a media darling. The press loves him. His story's outstanding, where he started, how he transferred a bunch of times, and now he's an SEC dragon slayer, right? Last year, the people fell for him because they beat Alabama. But the team last year was okay. This team is much better, well-rounded at least. And if they win this game against Mizzou, they're going to be right there. I mean, we're talking about potentially a playoff team then if they can beat Mizzou, because the schedule does sort of line up. They're 6-1 right now. They don't really have that many tough games left that are unwinnable. I mean, they could go to Texas and win. Why not? Why can't they beat Texas in that offense? Why can't they beat Tennessee? If they go 10-2, they should be in the playoffs, at which point you're going to hear more Pavia hype. And we know that he's a likable guy. We know the story about his mom. We see her in the jersey every game. You got Johnny Manziel at every game wearing the Pavia jersey. You got Theo Von there talking about Pavia. If you made me make a bet right now, I take Pavia 11-1 at BetMGM.
I'm glad you point out the playoff, because I could be wrong. That is something that I keep going back to. In this expanded format, last year was the outlier because you got a guy that was playing on both sides of the ball, and it was a Colorado program that people were just attached to in some way. They had very strong opinions, whether it was positive or negative. I think for the most part, it's going to be quarterback on a playoff team moving forward. Like, that's kind of where we start. That's our baseline, right? And by you saying that they could make the playoff with two losses in that SEC, I think that's a good starting point. That's a good idea. Okay, when I look at Pavia's game log, there is one thing that jumps out to me that would scare me about that number of 11-1. Man, there's a lot of games. He doesn't even get to 200 passing yards. Numbers-wise, stats-wise, do you think he can get there?
Yeah, I mean, the touchdown number is there for sure, okay. And he's clearly their best player. That's why I have an issue with Ohio State. And picking Julian Sain, who is now 4-1 at BetMGM. I see one book has him even lower than that. He's put up numbers for sure, but if you drop in any blue chip recruit, he's going to have the same numbers, because the offense is loaded with NFL talent. You got two NFL receivers, maybe three. You got a bunch of good running backs. You have a really good offensive line. And oh, by the way, the best part of the team is the defense that keeps giving you the ball at the 40-yard line or whatever. You know, it's like, oh, Ohio State's got 1st and 10 at the 40 or the 35. You know, so it's not like Julian Sain is doing everything to get Ohio State where it needs to be. He's an important piece, but he's not the piece. Diego Pavia is the piece of the offense. 15 touchdowns, 1,600 yards, 7th best QBR in the country. And again, it's the story. Where did he start? New Mexico Military Institute. That's where his college career started. Then New Mexico State, then Vandy. He'd be the guy. Now, I didn't bet him a couple weeks ago. We were talking about him at like 22-24-1. Did not get there. The only thing I have left that could win is Simpson. And I'm... because of what happened to Beck, I'm waiting for Simpson to throw 8 picks in his next game, because that would only be fitting. I feel good about Simpson. I think he's a first-round pick, and their schedule's not difficult either. But of those guys, like Simpson, Mendoza, Sain, it's hard to get behind any of them at 4-1 or shorter. It just is, because of the number.
Tell me about it. Okay, so where we are right now, what are we, 8 weeks in or whatever? We've got a little over a month left. If I say, how big is the group? You're looking at the list of the odds. How many could win it? Not saying will, could. Like, we can come up with a story. They're in the mix or in the conversation, and they're the red hot quarterback or whatever player moving forward. How wide open? I view it as very wide open. Like, this is not a list of three. It's not a list of five. I think it's bigger than that. How big do you think the list is?
Six, maybe.
Okay. Okay.
I've got the Heisman straw poll up if you're interested. Have you looked at this yet this week?
Did not look. Good.
Okay.
What do you have?
So they do this every week. And as Joe has brought up over the years, it's been very accurate. It helped him get to Devontae Smith several years ago. So they do a first place, a second place, and a third place vote. Number one right now, according to the Athletic Heisman straw poll, Fernando Mendoza. Not a surprise. 56 points. Line two, Ty Simpson. 36 points. So a pretty nice drop between 56 and 36. Line three, Pavia, 28.
Wow.
Line four, Jeremiah Love, Notre Dame. Only 7 points, though. Only seven. So the leader has 56. The fourth place guy has seven. Julian Sain, 6 points. Reuben Bain Jr., 2 points. Jeremiah Smith, 2 points. I could probably stop there. But you notice, of the voters and the bettors, there's not a lot of synergy there because the market has Marcel Reed, 10-1. He's not even in the team photo for the voters.
Nope.
But he's 10-1. Who else? Gunnar Stockton, 12-1 on the odds board. Doesn't even have a vote in the poll. Who else? Well, let's see. Dante Moore, 14-1. Doesn't have a vote. So I think there's this divide, as Femi brought up a couple weeks ago, between the bettors and the voters. There are some people the bettors like, and there are some that the voters like. It's not like this thing where everybody's on the same page outside of Mendoza, Simpson, Pavia.
Okay, your favorites at On3, their poll that they released late yesterday, had Simpson 1. Maybe you like them now. Simpson number 1, Athletic poll, they have Simpson 2. Number 2 for On3, Mendoza. So it's flipped 1-2, right? Close. Okay, we're on the same page. They also have Pavia 3. Are we kind of getting a better idea of what's going on? Marcel Reed 4. Okay, so that's a little bit different, and they put Sain 5. Huh. Let's talk about Love for a minute, because I know that there's a lot of Notre Dame fans, Notre Dame listeners, and they were talking about it after the 228 on Saturday night in the elements. Everybody's watching it. It was a prime spot. It was big for him. I started looking this morning at some of the running backs that have won this award and what you have to do. And I was thinking back to even last year with Genty. Like what he had to do to be part of the conversation, a little bit different for him because he's at Boise. He's not at Notre Dame. And then I started looking at Love's games. Like, all right, where are we statistically? We got to be number one, number two, number three in the nation, right, in rushing? No, he's fifth. That was his first monster game of the year. And it happens at this point. So, yes, you're going to get chatter about it. It was a big game. It was an outstanding performance after the golf cart incident. Wink, wink. But he's not even in the conversation. I understand why the odds moved, but some of these other names that we're talking about, I don't put him in that conversation. And I'm a Notre Dame guy. I look at his second best performance this year. It was 157 against Purdue. Purdue. He's got four games where he failed to get 100 yards. And you've got a tandem back situation, so I don't think he's going to have the same opportunities at Genty and, you know, when Derrick Henry won it that they got. So I don't think Love is even remotely in the conversation.
I think he's in the conversation, but I don't think he's winning. So no. I looked up Mark Ingram's stats. Mark Ingram won the Heisman in 2009. He had 1,700 yards, basically, and 17 touchdowns. Jeremiah Love, through seven games, has 758 and 9. He's got to double that production in five games, but he's already played seven. And you mentioned the split backfield. The reason his odds dropped, you know why. It's because people bet him. Because people are watching the game. And he's running like a maniac, and he's got 228 yards and a touchdown and 37 receiving yards. And people are like, oh, 20-1. Let me bet them. That's why. It's just a liability that's sort of added up from one game. Now, if he comes out in the next game and runs for 250 yards against Boston College, people are going to bet him again, and you're going to see more love. No pun. The schedule's very easy, though. That's the only thing. I mean, he could have 150 a game. Boston College, Navy, Pitt, Q, Stanford. That schedule stinks. Stinks.
But why would he be out there in the fourth quarter? There's that, too. They've got a playoff to think about. They're trying to win a championship.
I wouldn't bet him. Position. I agree with you. I would not bet Jeremiah Love.
Nope. Agree. Okay. Maybe this is flawed thinking. This is kind of where I got this morning. Okay. So I think Pavi is a good idea by you because of the opportunities to impress moving forward with limited games remaining. And I started thinking about that. Okay. Let's think about these teams that are probably going to be in the playoff. Will the quarterback of those teams that are already in the Heisman conversation have those big opportunities to impress moving forward? And that's why Pavi is a good look, because he will. And then if he performs well, they win those games, there's a good chance that they're in the playoff as long as they only lose one more game the rest of the way. Okay, so I started looking at these monster spots, big spots where – is there a game or two where it's going to be Heisman contender versus Heisman contender at the end of the year, and then the winner just kind of takes it because we're not really sure where it's going? And I'll just say this. Here, let's go here. So if we're going to go Big Ten playoff teams, we've got Indiana. We've got Ohio State. I think we can almost lock those guys in. Can we lock in Oregon with as high as their rating is right now? Or ranking?
Assuming they go 10-2 at worst, yes.
Yeah, okay, so we got three teams. I'd say at max you can get four. No guarantee, but at max you can get four Big Ten teams in. And you look right now in the conference, Oregon's one of those teams that is 3-1. Also 3-1, UCLA, believe it or not. No, there's nobody there. Northwestern, no, they're not making the playoff either. Iowa, no. Minnesota, no. There's two other teams. USC and Michigan. USC beat the crap out of Michigan. So if anything, I would say logic tells us that if there's a fourth team, if they don't lose the rest of the way to make the playoff, it would probably be USC. And yes, they're coming off the Notre Dame loss. That's true. USC, Riley team has not performed well on the road. They're two losses on the road. Huh. USC plays Oregon in the second to last week of the year in Oregon. Is that a spot? Like, I only say this not because I'm holding a ticket. I only ask this because he still leads in QBR. He still leads in EPA. He's number one in yards per attempt. Iava. Could the more Maeva game at the end of the year decide this thing?
I don't think so. I know what you're doing.
Okay.
I don't think so.
What about Moore? What about the Moore side?
No, I think we're out on Moore.
Okay. They don't lose? All right. Interesting. Try to look for those big spots. He's not budging on Gunnar Stockton. I'm not in either. Joe O, Sammy P, NFL Team Futures on the other side, BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Double dip of Monday Night Football last night. The first game, the Lions win and cover as a favorite. The second game, the Seahawks win and cover as a favorite. They cover the number of three. We're going to go over some NFL team futures. This is Bet Sweats Joe O. Sammy P. hanging out with you. BetMGM Network. Sam on X at SP Shoot. I'm there at Jill Ostrowski. We got to mention the room, Sam. One game, awful. One game, good. Worth noting. In the first game, I guess we call the Tampa Bay game because they did all Tampa Bay props by the time we wrapped up the show. They go 1-4. The only winner was Kate Otten's over at 36 in the hook. Every other one was a loss. We were laughing at the Cam Johnson over 8.5 receiving yards. And did you say you said over or under? I go, under. If those two guys are in, it's under. And it was under. No yards and one target for one Cam Johnson. And over 8.5 was one of the most popular plays of the day. In the second game, they did well. 4-1. Listen back if you want. We pointed out, okay, if you're going to pick one, which one's the weirdest one? And we said, who's Jaden Higgins? Over 31.5. Jaden Higgins had 0 yards last night. Very strange.
It's so funny. The random ones. Paul even said when he read Cam Johnson, he's like, this is the one, right? And you said yes. Over 8.5 yards on an obscure wide receiver. Very funny. I was laughing yesterday, too. Like, there's this anonymous account who hates our show but listens to our show every day, apparently. And he
– every minute.
He's not happy. He's not happy that we give room bets out. He's like, all these guys do is fade the room. Like, no, that's not what we do. It is a sliver of a 9-segment pie that we talk about for 6 minutes. I just – doesn't like our show but listens every day and tweets about us. It's very funny. It's very strange behavior, but that's Twitter for you.
The funny part to me was it was a reply to our lightning bets criticizing that we suggested something that was not a lightning bet. What you're saying is nowhere here. These are our bets for the day. These are the bets. Like, it's not, it wasn't even room-based. We just let the people know where the room is, and we keep it updated. We give our thoughts on it about why certain things, and, okay, well, we disagree with this. We agree with that. Yeah, some people like to be miserable. But remember, don't worry about the vocal minority. Don't worry about the idiots that are mad in DMs that are drunk and they're DMing you and blaming you for Carson Beck's performance on Friday night. The majority enjoy it. The majority, like we see it, the reaction every day that we talk about the room. Like, oh, this guy's an idiot. He's probably in the room. Like people have a lot of fun with it. So that's what we care about. All right. NFL team futures. Sam, there was some shifting. They were trying to figure out what was going on with the Super Bowl odds. Well, there was some shifting once again, and I don't want to say we're seeing separation, but it's not, okay, co-favorites anymore like it was last week where it was Kansas City and Buffalo. Buffalo's on by. Kansas City plays. They win in dominant fashion. They actually pitch a shutout against a division opponent, and they are the favorite now for the Super Bowl. They're by themselves. Detroit, impressive last night. They're the second favorite. Buffalo does not play. They fall to the third favorite with Green Bay. Best number you could find is 8-1. So it's Kansas City, Detroit, Buffalo / Green Bay. Philly's still fifth. They were in the fifth spot last week. They're still fifth. And then what I think is most notable, the Indianapolis Colts have joined the party. Super Bowl odds, Sam, they are number 6 at 12-1.
Only 5 teams shorter. Kansas City, Detroit, Buffalo, Green Bay, Philly. Which is not really a surprise. I mean, those five teams, and you add the Ravens in there, of course, those five teams were five of the favorites heading into the season, right? I mean, we know the Ravens were near the top, but not really a surprise. I think maybe the order is a little surprising considering how the season started for some teams. But KC, Detroit, Buffalo, Green Bay, Philly, all right there. The Colts, a huge surprise at 12-1. And I still think there are some people out there who think that they're Fugazi. Maybe. I don't think they're going to make a playoff run, but they're a playoff team because of their ability to just run the football down your throat. I don't think that's going to suddenly change. They have the best offensive line, for my money, in the league. And when you can run the ball at will in this league, you've got a chance to compete in every game as long as the quarterback protects the football. And that's what they've done so far. Shane Steichen made it very clear in the offseason. We need a vet who protects the ball. And maybe Daniel Jones wasn't the best protector of the football, but he's done a tremendous job this year. And if you ask a Vikings fan why Daniel Jones is thriving, well, it's the Kevin O'Connell fairy dust, right? Like, that's what it is. Like, he just, you know, Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, Kirk Cousins. Like, when they're in Minnesota, something happens when they work with Kevin O'Connell. That's not a direct reason why, but I think certainly Daniel Jones learned a thing or two in Minnesota. Granted, he didn't play, but just being around Kevin O'Connell or Sean McVay has done wonders. I mean, how about Baker Mayfield goes to the Rams for a cup of coffee and his career turns around afterwards? Sam Darnold goes to back up Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. Things change. It's a wild commonality where quarterbacks that have struggled go to either San Francisco or Minnesota and their careers are turned around. Another example, Daniel Jones.
I'm going to start rifling off the Ravens' opponents moving forward. You tell me where the losses are, because we might get to a point where it's too many losses to even have this conversation. It's going to be something that keeps popping up because of where they are in the division odds. They're a close second favorite. They are 25-1 for the Super Bowl, the Ravens. On by this past week, they host the Bears. Is that a win?
Yes.
Dolphins win. At Minnesota. Tough. Coin flip.
Coin flip.
Okay. At Cleveland, win. Host. Wow, maybe I shouldn't do that. Should I do that? Should I not give them Cleveland? Cleveland's tough at home.
Cleveland's beat them. I mean, Cleveland beat them last year with Jameis Winston. I would give them a win, though, this time around. Maybe that's not fair. Maybe it's not fair to just give them all these wins blindly, but from a power rating standpoint, you would think that they would beat Chicago, Cleveland, Miami, and it wouldn't even be like, I mean, I wouldn't bet. If you asked me, like, would you bet Bears money line or Dolphins money line or Browns money line, I would not.
Yeah. They get the Jets, too. They have two against the – both games against the Bengals, both games against the Steelers. They host New England. They visit Green Bay late in the year. Not a ton of – I wouldn't say there are any automatic losses when you're Baltimore, when you have Lamar Jackson as your quarterback. You don't have automatic losses. But as far as number of losses, okay, maybe you split with Cincinnati. Maybe you split with Pittsburgh. At Green Bay could be tough. I see a few spots. At 25-1, they sit 1-5 right now with a couple of very winnable games, Chicago, Miami next. Then, you know, we could blink and then they're 3-5 and everybody's talking about them. Should we be considering Ravens stock 25-1 for the Super Bowl, even though they haven't done it in the playoffs? It's just a value play.
Given the price, I understand it. I don't trust the quarterback in the playoffs. I just don't. I never have. I've talked about this for many years. I just don't. I don't like him in big moments against really good teams. So, no, I'm out. You could get me to the division price. After week two or week three, Ravens were minus 400. Now they're plus 135. Could they win that awful division? Yes. Am I betting them to win the conference or the Super Bowl? No.
I think they're a team week to week. All right, the other team that we kind of talk about a lot, like, let's just talk about the state of the team and the state of the price. They played last night in the late game and they won.
They look good at home. Better than they usually do. The Seattle Super Bowl number is 27. The NFC number is 13. For the division, they're plus 270. I know. Sam's sighing because it's out of frustration. We have talked about this team for a long, long time, and neither of us have fired a bet. And those numbers are shrinking and shrinking week by week by week on Seattle. So what do we think about the information we have on the team and those numbers?
I'm just upset that we didn't bet Seattle 30-1 to win the NFC. That was when we had the conversation, and you said you had a sleeper, and I said, I think I know your sleeper. And then I wrote Seattle in Sharpie, and you said Seattle, and I revealed Seattle, and then we did nothing with it at 30-1 to win the conference. Mm-hmm. It's such a sore subject because they've done nothing but do their jobs since that conversation. It's very annoying. Can they win the division? Of course. Can they make a playoff run? I think so. I think they can. 30-1 was right there. It was right in our hands, Joe. We had the whole world in our hands and did nothing.
I know. I know. And now I'm looking at it. Okay, they're going on by. Okay, can we get a better price, right? I don't think so, because at Washington, I think Jayden Daniels is going to miss a couple weeks. He's probably out of that game too. Arizona, at the Rams, at the Titans. They should, at the very least, go 3-1 over the next four games.
Would you bet division or conference first?
And then they're sitting 8-3. I don't like San Francisco moving forward. I know some people trust them. I don't. What are we going to get out of the Rams? The Rams are always a team that's just kind of sitting there, and I never bet on them. Like, I'm looking at them for the NFC odds. Oh, yeah, they're the fourth favorite. That's cute. I'm not interested in betting on them. So I would go conference, honestly. I think it's wide open, the NFC. I mean,
15?
I like Detroit and Seattle in the NFC. That's where I'm at. Do you have one team or two teams you really like in the NFC?
I still think Philly's going to be fine.
Okay. All right, and they certainly look fine this week. Joe O, Sammy P, Michael Felder on college football. This is the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.